A scene from March that possibly best illustrates everything its creators were trying to do depicts John Lewis as a child traveling with his uncle northward to Buffalo, New York. They're driving through the hostile Jim Crow South, a time and place with no guarantee of restaurants, hotels, or even bathrooms that would be open to African Americans.
The sweat on your uncle's clothes as you're stuck in a 100-degree car with the backseat full of day-old rolls and chicken while you're just trying to get across this bridge so that you're in less fear of being attacked or maligned just for driving through.
This is Nate Powell, illustrator of March.
The goal is essentially to see, hear, smell, touch, taste all the things that they are.
Well, I think that's Nate's gift, is to see the things that almost can't be said.
Andrew Iden is the book's co-author.
If you were telling that story, you wouldn't be able to describe necessarily the tension on someone's face. And yet, as the story is told to Nate, he sees it in his head, and then he's able to take that and put that down on paper.
March's framing story is the morning of Barack Obama's 2008 inauguration. John Lewis was one of the event's speakers. Here's Andrew Iden.
Staffing him that day, he was telling all of these stories. And it was an unbelievable experience to both bear witness to this moment in history, but also to be so close to a man who really had these personal stories to tell.
Besides co-writing March with Lewis, Iden has also worked on the congressman's staff since 2008. And so he was there the morning of the inauguration, as Lewis stopped to talk with people he met and tell them stories from his past.
I was lucky enough to be there at that particular moment, but everybody should know, everybody should see what he said, how he said it, what he went through on that day, and what that means over the long arc of history.
The first volume of March tells the story of Lewis's childhood in Alabama, his meeting Martin Luther King as a young man, and the Nashville student movement's battle for desegregation through lunch counter sit-ins. In spirit, the book is modeled on a civil rights comic book from the 1950s.
Our objective was definitely to have book one give a very clear nod to the 1957 comic, Martin Luther King Jr. and the Montgomery Story, even going all the way down to color choices.
Again, artist Nate Powell.
Book one is essentially taped up on all sides by scotch tape and library tape.
The book, which is all sepia, golds, reds, and blues, is not really taped up, just made to look that way.
And it's sort of weathered to resemble some of the second and third hand textbooks that black students in segregated schools throughout the South were forced to use.
It's really been cool. I don't think anybody would imagine somebody as serious and as stern as John Lewis sitting down looking at comic book pages.
When we imagine John Lewis, maybe we think of the man who was severely beaten while crossing the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama in 1965 at a demonstration that would come to be known as Bloody Sunday. Or maybe we think of the man who's represented Georgia's 5th District in Congress since 1986. Creating a graphic novel interpretation of his life meant thinking a little differently for everyone involved. For comic book artist Nate Powell, it meant matching his storytelling style to that of their book's subject.
And at a certain point, I realized this man was primarily an oral storyteller. You know, one of the challenges as a comic book storyteller is knowing when to show instead of tell. You know, I would cut out large swatches of dialogue or voiceovers. And then at a certain point, I realized that a lot of this, you know, was verbatim originating with Congressman Lewis's oral storytelling. So I sort of backtracked a bit and, you know, acquired a different relationship with the words.
Writer Andrew Iden's relationship with John Lewis's words has changed too.
I get teased a little bit because I've started talking more like him. He has a very distinct style. He uses shorter phrases. Never give up, never get in, never give out. 7 to 10 words, sometimes even less. But he uses them very effectively.
Brothers and sisters, do you want to go back? Or do you want to keep America moving forward?
Yeah.
Mine, dear friends.
He has the cadence of a Southern preacher, but a tone of voice that reflects his optimism.
You were tasked here with basically writing a definitive account of the arguably most famous and fraught period of life of a celebrated living civil rights legend. This is a big story. To what extent were you able to think about that as you worked on the project?
There would be moments where I would sort of think about that. I talk to my mom just about every night. And my mother, very matter-of-factly, would be like, just write it. Part of me was sort of spared the enormity of what we did because I don't think anybody believed we'd actually be able to pull it off. 5 years ago, when this was just an idea, people would be like, oh, that's nice, you're working on a comic book. But now that people see what's in their hands and they read the book and they take it a little more seriously, you know, it's easy to look back and see it as something significant. But at the time, this was just three guys, all from the South, working on something they really wanted to do.